Sometimes I'll decide to obey because it's right, and other times I decide to obey because it's an offering of praise and thanksgiving to God. And the difference between those two things, as obvious as that may sound, and as basic as that may be to everybody, is just night and day. One is a vertical gift out of relationship with Jesus, and the other is a moral way of life, which isn't any better than Taoism or Buddhism or any other kind of thing. I mean, if it's just a lifestyle that we're after, then Christianity is just one option amongst many. If it's a life that we're offering to a risen Jesus on a minute-by-minute basis out of relationship with him, out of a love affair with him, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He didn't hang a stick over our head and say, obey me, obey me, obey me. That's just the right lifestyle. Get your attitudes in check. Get your actions in check. Give me your money. Give me your time. Give me this. Give me that. You know, don't let a cross word come from your mouth. You know, I am king. I am Lord. I am God. Do what I say. That wasn't his approach. He cultivated a relationship. He showed his faithfulness again and again to his disciples. He had times when he was enraged by their lack of faith and their foolishness, but he was there to wash their feet. He was there, he was there, he was there. His faithfulness didn't waver in the slightest, even amidst all their foolishness. That's why he chose the people that he did. He chose the fishermen who had so far to go, the men that were unlearned and ignorant. They weren't very good at faking it. You know, some of us are pretty sophisticated. We're pretty good at faking obedience, faking the right attitudes, faking the right actions and the commitment. And we know when things are, we're about to cross a line that someone else might think we're disobedient, you know, and we know how to manipulate our way back into the place where it looks like everything's okay. You know, we're pretty sophisticated in putting up a display of an acceptable lifestyle. Our standard is a little higher here, but with a little practice, you know, we can figure out a way to look like we're within the guidelines of acceptable, you know, social kingdom behavior here and get away with it. But obviously that was never Jesus' heart. I mean, he saw their foolishness. He chose men that couldn't hide their foolishness very well. I mean, if you and I were walking along the road, we wouldn't argue about who's the greatest, would we? I mean, we know better than that. We're too sophisticated to argue about that. We might slip in a few comments here and there, but we would never just come right out and say, I'm the greatest. No, I am. You know, we're too sophisticated for that. And a lot of our sins are that way. We hide them well because we're so sophisticated. We're not unlearned and ignorant. We're wise in our own eyes. And so we follow the guidelines in a way that's socially acceptable. We get by. We hide behind whatever it is that we can to go on with our hearts that are far from him, if that's the case anyway. It's not in everyone, obviously. What I'm suggesting to you is that Jesus, seeing all those things, knowing those things, went on loving them, demonstrating his faithfulness, because they would never overcome those things out of, I'm the king, I am the creator, I walk on water, you do what I say, I am God, here's the correct lifestyle as opposed to the incorrect lifestyle, here are acceptable habits as opposed to unacceptable habits, here are acceptable things you can do religiously as opposed to unacceptable traditional religious things, and I'm God, I've decided these things, now you line up with them. That was never his approach. He let them wallow in their own foolishness and trip on themselves and continue to wash their feet and be faithful to them, because the only way they were going to overcome any of that was out of their love for him. When they saw that he was committed to them no matter what they did, then and only then would they be able to overcome their sin. That's the only way to see Jesus high and lifted up, to see him with the nail scars in his hand as a testimony of an undying, unrelentless, unrelenting kind of love for us no matter what we've bungled up. And so we go on trying to hide behind our own fears and our own pains and our own mistakes, and we try to wash it, you know, and make it prettied up so that it doesn't look too bad, and we, you know, wallow in our own pain and agony and even more pain. At least they were so foolish and so unsophisticated that they didn't try to pretend. We complicate our own lives by trying to pretend, and then it gets all bottled up inside of us, and the pain, the misery, the anguish of trying to be somebody we're not just eats us alive. But Jesus is saying, don't try to pretend. I love you. My commitment to you, my faithfulness to you is independent of anything you'll ever do or say or be. Those aren't the issues at all. My love for you is unqualified. It's unmerited and unqualified. And you're not going to earn my love. My commitment to you is in spite of the fact that you argue along the way about who's the greatest. That's the faithfulness of Jesus that won them. The man that walked with him in the most visible way for the 3.5 years that he was public was Peter. And what was his testimony? We've seen his glory. We've beheld the awesomeness. And though we see him not, we love him with a joy inexpressible, full of glory. It was love that won Peter over, the love that Jesus had for him in spite of his foolishness. And so as we choose to obey him, it's going to be because we see his faithfulness in spite of our mistakes. When we disobey him, and there he is again. And we rebel against him, and there he is again. And we make mistake after mistake. We hurt ourselves. We hurt others. We stub our toe, and there he is again with his arm around us. Unlike mortals, apart from God's grace and his Spirit, there he is again. There he is again. Right to the dying breath. No compromise whatsoever, but a hand that's willing to take a nail so we won't have to. And that was ultimately the thing that won them to obedience. It never was, I'm fully convinced now that I'm supposed to obey him because he's God and he said so. There's a kind of obedience that says I will obey and never does. There's a kind of obedience that says I will obey and attempts to obey, but it's unsustainable. And there's a kind of obedience that because we love him, we keep his commandments. Because we've cultivated a relationship with him, we've seen his unfailing love, we've seen his faithfulness, we've allowed him to wash our feet. And if we won't let him wash our feet, no matter how stinky they happen to be, if we won't let him wash our feet, he said, you have no part in me. You have to let me wash your feet. You have to let me love you in spite of your stinky feet. You have to let me be committed to you and be faithful to you when you're unfaithful to me and open up your hands to me and relax. You have to let me do that. Come to me, you that are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. You've got to let him play that role in your life and learn how to curl up in his lap and love him, or you'll never learn how to obey him consistently, no matter how committed you are. It can't be done out of commitment. It can only be done out of basking in his love. And every act of obedience is a personal gift that we offer to him, and it's a rational gift, a fruitful thinking gift that we offer to him. Jesus, here's the way I want to be. Here's the way I want to act. Here's the thing I want to say. Here's the response I want to have. But I offer this to you as a gift. As you gave a gift for me, I lay down my life before you as a gift. I'll let it be trampled on. I'll let myself be taken advantage of. I'll let myself be rejected and shortchanged. I'll let myself be hurt. I'll let myself be cheated out of my rights and the things that my flesh deserves and has every right to, and after all, everybody else does. You know, I'll let myself be given as a ransom and be spent as a gift, a personal gift that we, with a fruitful mind, offer to Jesus, as opposed to the right lifestyle, the right thing to do. It's a gift of love as we see one who's very, very, very lovable in spite of everything.